Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, host of Wise Women. And I certainly welcome everyone who is listening today. I know we have a lot of weather the last few weeks all over the country. And I am in Arizona, and we certainly have not had weather like this in some time. It's been cold and we've had snow. So we're waiting for a little bit of a break here in the cold weather. But of course, my family back home in Wisconsin is laughing about that because they had to cancel Christmas. There was 52 inches of snow and they didn't want anybody on the roads. So they came en masse, about 15 of them, a few weeks later, and all traveled to Phoenix to have their Christmas festivities. And I have a little boutique here in Old Town Cottonwood, and I was telling one of my customers about that, and she said, well, that's an awful lot of don't you knows in one place. Yeah, so back home in Hurley, Wisconsin, 1,006 people, they don't grow in population because people generally are born, raised there, and try to escape to somewhere else where it's a little bit warmer. But, you know, I enjoy the snow. I miss it. But anyway, back to today. Today, I'm going to make a second attempt at just talking to you from my own wisdom, my own heart, and kind of review the wonderful women that we have had on our show, not the least of which was Dr. Jean Bolen. And one of the things that was the takeaway there with her wonderful interview was the importance of us having groups of women. And I do my best to give some inspiration to those of you listening to take action in your own way, where you can, with what you are able to do. And I know that there is a very important aspect to having community, and you can create your community, and we all do, basically. We have our family, and then we have the family that we create. And she suggested and shared with us that she had a group of women that she had been meeting with for over 20 years. And that kind of connection with the ability to have tenure with people that know you so well. She mentioned that many of them had gotten married and then gotten divorced and then were single, and they endured through births and deaths, and they, as a group, took a portion of their life together. They took a journey together. And when they would come together once a week, they were vulnerable with each other. They shared their innermost thoughts, knowing that it was a safe place for them to do that. So there was an agreement that, you know, whatever was shared in those meetings was sacred and not to be spoken outside of the group. There is this particular power in doing something like that. It creates almost an atmosphere of sanctity in a way when you have agreed to come together with agreements of support with each other. And that makes a tremendous kind of pillar, a foundation in your own life that makes, I think, a powerful difference in how we operate and how we function in our everyday lives. We certainly know of the nefarious groupings. J.P. Morgan, back in the 20s, met with his cronies in Jekyll Island, and that unsanctified group set in motion a lot of nefarious things that now we're dealing with in such a distracted and terrible way to sort our way out of the nefarious greed that was set in motion by that group of powerful people who had money and had influence. And instead of them creating an alliance, which they did, to support and empower people, they instead chose to empower themselves. And as Gary Null mentions so often in his programs daily that are extraordinary, these things are just so against all of our own natural instincts of what it would be like to have a worthy life of joy and happiness and authenticity. And with that, I'm going to take a little quick break and be right back. Okay, so we're back. And another wonderful thing that I think is of a value to each of us. So many times I hear people, and oftentimes women, and oftentimes women who are older, and perhaps their mate has, and this is true for men too, but I don't know how many men are listening. I hope some are. And they're lonely and they're bored. I know my stepmother went through that when my father had passed away. And I know that somehow, because your normal routine is interrupted, when you have a spouse and that spouse leaves you or dies or is sick, and then you have to become the caregiver, or all of the changes that take place in the course of having a life. Well, somehow, unless that, if that person has been engaged in the day-to-day routines without really doing an outreach themselves into the community to make a difference. My whole life has always been, always, regardless of a small moment or a big performance that I've done for people, because I'm, you know, I'm a performer, singer, dancer, actress, all that stuff. But it's to make a difference, to make an impact in that moment that we're in. That's because somehow I just know the joy of being able to see that. And if you are out there and you're lonely and you're bored and whatever, volunteer. Go make a difference in an animal shelter. Go make a difference helping serve, you know, food in some of the homeless locations. Do something where you're doing for someone else. And I know it sounds like, oh, well, you know, I want to do something for myself. Well, you are doing something for yourself when you're doing something for someone else. My family was just, you know, always in that extreme generosity perspective. My family couldn't do enough for you. I mean, if you walked in the door, you want some coffee, you want some food. What can I do for you? That was just the nature of our family. We that was just who we always are and have always been. And so in a way, because I grew up in that atmosphere, I've taken that for granted until I come in contact with other people and their family structure. And I notice that there's remoteness, there's the lack of intimacy, there's a lack of genuine caring. Instead, there are boundaries, you know, that are set up within the family structure. And I just don't see that as the best way for us to live a good, happy life. Now, I'm not saying we all have our ups and downs. Oh my God, most certainly I will readily admit, you know, I've made choices that put me in a very compromised, stupid position by being overly generous. I know that there are times when we need to monitor that generosity syndrome, because there are many who will gravitate to people like that, and they'll take and they'll continue to expect the generosity to continue in their direction. And as soon as you stop and say, I think this feels out of balance. I don't think this doesn't feel right. Then what I have noticed all too often is anger arises and their dismay at how could you change your attitude, Kathleen? Well, I was expecting that from you, and it's true. So the balance of being able to be a generous soul, to be kind, and to have a feeling of contributing without being out of balance is a delicate line. It is. I mean, I've watched Gary Null and the way he operates and his generosity, and but he does have an ability to see to set certain boundaries, certain requirements that keep the balance of exchange correct. Werner Erhard would always talk about that in the seminars that I immersed myself in for years. I was a seminar leader, and I was involved with summit workshops with Dan Fossey and Ted Danson, with Paul Larson in summit workshops. I mean, anything I could get my hands on that I could participate in contributed greatly to the person that I am today. And Werner Erhard would also talk about correct exchange. What did he call it? Anyway, the meaning that there is and should be an exchange of energy that is appropriate. So it doesn't always have to look the same. If you give someone money, it doesn't mean they have to give you money back. If you give them an apple, it doesn't mean they have to give you an apple back. But the other part of this, because many times if I'm around someone, I want the best for them. It's just in my DNA. It's like I see a human being, I see an animal, I see a plant. It's like I can see what the potential can be in that alive thing, even if it's a piece of marble. I can see something in it. And that is a passion that I have had my whole life, to want to potentiate that, to see that grow into the most beautiful aspect of what is possible within that presence in front of me. And so there's something that I take great delight in that process. And I invite those of you listening to you yourself. Try to put that hat on. Just see, last night I was at a wonderful birthday party. My friend and teacher, oftentimes, Michelle Phillips, had a birthday. And we sat around the table talking about creativity. And invariably, because I am, it's always just been my nature to be creative. It's just easy for me. It's natural. It's just something that I was given blessings for. And so often people would say, oh, you do that so beautifully. Oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, gosh, I can't do that. I can't. It's like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because especially with any artistic expression, any performance expression, anything that we can call the arts, including cooking, including painting, including dance, all of it. Who is to suggest? It's a subjective thing, even with food. Some people, I've been with foods and with people, we go out to a restaurant and I know it tastes like crap. And then, oh, yeah, this is good. And I think, oh, okay. Yeah. But their taste buds are such that that is their subjective reception of what they just put in their mouth. So isn't it also true if you draw a picture? If you make a sculpture, if you do a dance, it's your creative expression. It's your authentic self in that moment. Not that it couldn't change, it certainly could change. But in that moment, I think it's so important for us to self-express, to just, I think, be free with who we are. And, the atmosphere right now seems to just be suppress them, put a mask on them. Let's just make them all the same. Get that mask on. Why aren't you wearing your mask? You're damaging other people. If you're not having, it's like, oh my God, please. It is, if you can look at it and see it from the place that the nefarious objectives are coming from, instead of being at the effect of what their propaganda is, then you can see more clearly. You can free yourself. It was like, I think it was Socrates that said, you can kill my body, but you can't kill me. You can kill my body, but you cannot kill me. And so, even with the COVID and such, Michelle Phillips, who had had COVID and she tends to get sick. Michelle was also on my show, if you've listened before. She's written 5 books. She has been a channel since she was a child. I know to some of you that's like in the audience, you might think, that's weird. All that, it's mumbo jumbo. Well, I've lived through it and I am it. Like it or not. And we were laughing last night, and because those of us that were sitting around the table, all of our family thinks we're from some other planet. And so, one of the girls at the table said, "Yeah, it's what I just told my family. I'm from another planet. Just deal with it." And that planet can be just a different perspective, a different thought of how our lives are unfolding in this reality that gets stranger as we go. I mean, oh my God, talk about, okay, I just said it, art expression, who's to judge it? But oh my God, the Grammy Awards and Rihanna in the Super Bowl. I mean, really? I mean, how many? Oh, I actually by accident saw, a whole thing about Kiss, and they were the ones with, the masks first and the tongue licking and, the wiggling tongue like Satan, whatever. But I tell you, we really have to raise our consciousness somehow to make room for what seems to be just the most horrendously strange existence that has evolved in such a short period of time. I mean, I love the wonderful interviews that Gary Null puts on his show. And by gosh, if you're not listening to that every day, go back and listen to the archives. I mean, to have these extraordinary world thinkers speaking out the truth into our ears to lift us into a perspective of the truth of what is happening. Well, okay. So there are some perceptions of thought that say even the most dark, the most shadow self, if we can somehow love them, accept them, and laugh at them, I think is another way to just laugh at the absurdity of it all. I mean, it's just, I mean, for those of us, especially those of us salt of the earth Midwest people, we grew up with just a lot of supportive, codependent people. We were always taking care of each other. And the nefarious parts that we are now seeing, all of the insanity and the abuse, and I mean, it's all coming onto the table like a big, bleh, there it is. Bleh. It's all on the table. Look at it all. Look at it. Look at this. And what do we do with it? Oh my gosh. So, whatever that is that you call your God, and I certainly have gone into all of the possibilities, the religions. I went to India. I lived in India. I did Namyo Renge Kyo. I've been baptized three times. I've been, you know, I've done, I grew up Catholic and survived it. And, you know, we have to go somewhere into believing that whatever created us, and I know each one of us has a sense of that in us, whatever that is, go to that creator and surrender. Surrender yourself into that. When I take a shower every day, and this is what I've been doing, I just stand in that shower and I raise my arms up and I just say, take me, I am yours to serve. That Yahweh, Jesus, Buddha, Christ, Creator, any and all versions, the generic God. I go for the generic God because I, how am I to know? I don't know. I was raised Catholic, but what if I was raised Mormon? What if I was raised a Muslim? What if I was raised a Hindu? You know, the pick of the draw. What I have been raised into a consciousness, a conditioning that I chose as a child to begin to explore. Who am I? Who am I? Why did I do that? Because, and I know we've said this on other shows, but maybe you weren't on my other shows listening, whatever. But I'm a precognitive dreamer from the time I was a child. Well, you know, if a child dreams the night before, and then the next day, what you dreamt happens, or the next week, or the next month, or even the next year, you remember you dreamt that dream, and you go, wow, well, what the heck? And that would began my journey as a child to wonder, ponder, what is this? Who are we? What is this reality? And I'm always curious because I don't know. I don't know. Shouldn't everybody wonder about that? I mean, I don't know. Of course. Okay. So maybe I'm being presumptuous, but I just think that kind of it's our job to self-discover. And that's all we have to do this with. We come in, we have a mind, we have a consciousness, we have a heart. We have a body that we are given to take care of. And Gary Nell certainly goes way overboard to give us information on how to take the best care of it, because this is our vehicle to stay here, to figure it out. And so, isn't our job to utilize the consciousness we have, the body that we have? This is what we have to do a discovery. You know, isn't that the truth? I mean, I can't get into somebody else's head, really. I can relate to them. We can share. We can talk. I can hear your point of view, and I may completely disagree with you. You know, and Gary always has that premise on PRN. Progressive radio show is about all inclusive points of view, you know? And so how can we create from that perspective to include all of the stuff that we find repugnant, repulsive, weird, nefarious, somehow? I don't know. I'm struggling with this. And I'm certainly open to hearing your opinions. PRSedona11 at yahoo.com. Send me an email. I'm open to your conversation. I would like to hear your point of view. And as long as I'm saying this, if you have ideas of who might be a wonderful person to have on my show, please let me know who they are and their contact information. And again, that's P like Peter, R like Robert, Sedona, SEDONA11, which actually is public relations, PR, public relations, Sedona11 at yahoo.com. So back to, you know, the expression of who we are and the importance of our self-expression. That I really had wanted today to be the theme of what I wanted to share with you, to encourage you to sit down even today, draw a stick, man, it doesn't matter. Picasso put, you know, lines together on a page and sold it for big bucks. Not that, you know, and it's not, you don't have to sell your art. You don't have to, but you can put it on a wall. You can give it to a friend. You could make a greeting card. Last night at the party, some people had made greeting cards. And I was so taken aback by the wonderful, artful, handwritten expressions of appreciation that were read in the cards that were the birthday cards last night. It was a lovely way to acknowledge and give honor to the birthday queen. She had a little banner like, you know, the beauty queens wear, and it said birthday queen. And it was then the first card that was read, it said in the header, it mentioned the queen, birthday queen. Well, how does that happen? Isn't it fun when synchronicity appears? When you think a thought and there it comes, that's to me, I always call that living in the state of grace. Like if I'm, you know, I need a rubber band and I don't know, I don't have one. I walk 10 feet and there's a rubber band on the ground. That to me is like the most fun. That's the magic. So I'm saying to everyone, go find the magic. Go find that magic in you and find it in other people. Blossom it in other people. When you see something wonderful in someone, well, bring it forth. Make it something that is a mission of your own. Can you imagine what fun it would be for you to walk around just like, oh, I am a magician. I'm going to take my magic wand and I'm going to turn you into Cinderella, and I'm going to make you a Snow White and wake you up. You know, some of these wonderful fairy tales that we grew up with, which of course have always symbolically had tremendous symbolism in them. Well, go back to those stories and become them. I always thought of myself, you know, my mother died, you know, when I was 5. You've heard this sad story. Oh, boo-hoo. And it was a sad story, but it the trajectory of my life I embraced, and you know, my father actually then 2 years later married a countess from Italy, and she had two daughters, and so I had two stepsisters, just like Cinderella. Well, okay, I was the youngest, and yes, I had to do all the work, and yes, blah blah blah, and I got all the handy had me downs, and you know, damn it, there was no prince with a pumpkin carriage that came and got me, but instead, I identified with the fairy godmother. So I'm going to be the fairy godmother. Okay. I'm not going to be Cinderella. And so, I mean, that might sound childish, but I enjoy it. You know, I mean, when people come into my shop, in my little shop, and it's called All Things Creative, of course. And I know that when people come in, they're touched. They're somehow, I can't help myself, but connect with them on that deeper level, because this is my life. I'm not going to be a little snooty snap, shopkeeper and not be engaged. I actually connect with them. And then they want to hug me, and then they start to cry and all these things. And I'm seeing before me the impact that just having an open heart with people can have. And it's like, oh, wow. I don't do it even like purposefully. I just do it because it's become me. And so I'm just saying, what if you were that way? What if you were just that open when you walk into a store and started talking to people like real people instead of the, well, you're a salesperson or you're a carpet man and you're going to show me carpet or whatever, you know, just have our masks taken off. take off the psychological masks and just be our joyful selves, just be our authentic selves, like you know how children can be, as long as they're not suppressed by the globalist agenda. Yeah, anyway, I can't even talk about that. And anyway, grow your own food. Dr. Ann certainly brought that into the picture here, and I'm so glad that she did. She's brilliant. I've had some of the most wonderful guests on my show, all very worthy of going back and listening to those archival, you know, shows, because they're rich with things that can make our lives better. And that was the whole purpose of this show. Gary wanted, you know, he said, you know, I want you to do Wise Women, and with the objective of, you know, bringing wisdom from these extraordinary women that he gave me a long list of, and I was privileged to be able to have on my show. And then as time went on and more shows were needed, and I had some people who were in my life that I knew who also had wisdom, and brought them on. And so, you know, Ann and her husband moved to East Texas, Nacogdoches. I can never always say that, but we know what it is. And that's near Tyler and Mineola, not too far from there. They bought a 25-acre farm, and they're developing the land and inviting people to also, you know, be able to come and grow food there, because we don't know what their next plan and agenda is. Those nefarious they, we know who they are, because Gary's been talking about them. Anyway, I think that there are certain things now that are very critical. So as I started with the show, have a group of people, have groups of like-minded people who want to support you. Go and volunteer and express yourself. And then now get, you know, I hear people, oh, I don't have a green thumb. Well, get a green thumb. Go get one. You know, when you can take a 5-gallon plastic bucket that you can get from, you know, the hardware store, fill it with dirt, you know, stick an organic potato in the bottom of it, water it, and grow potatoes so you can survive if it's necessary, which it might be. Well, the other part of that is, what fun to grow something. It's fun to watch something grow and to see that your nurturing care makes a difference. You know, play classical music around it. We know that these are all things that have come into our awareness that don't, if you play rock and roll or hard rock or no, it's what is that called? I don't know. I can't remember the other terms of the hard music. I don't think they grow as well, but it's been proven that by putting classical music, particularly Mozart, seems to really make things grow and be beautiful and good for your water and all that good stuff. So these are things that are within your power. So what today I want to bring into awareness is things that are in your power. What is within your power? You can start a group. You can go volunteer and help people. You can do a stick man on a piece of paper. You can grow food. You can read good books that empower you. You can avoid, you know, things that disempower you. And to find and identify what those things actually are. And, you know, recently I've, you know, my partner always says, Kathleen, you can talk to kings and you can talk to bums on the street. And, you know, I do have a proclivity for that for some interesting reason. And I do have the capacity not to judge them. No, I have a preference for certain behaviors. I think that I have had to learn through the hard realities of disappointment and just terrible stress from making poor judgments on people that I have had in my life, that I allowed into my life. But I always have room for those that, like other people, oh, well, that guy's a bum, that guy's a drug addict, that guy's alcoholic. I really, honestly, I don't have to work on it. I really have the capacity to see beyond whatever the current label might be for that person. And then, even better, I want to understand what goes on in their head, their consciousness, their way of life. And if there's something that I'm able to do to contribute to them, then why shouldn't I? And just as well with my very wealthy billionaire, millionaire friends, I look at them and their lives, and I don't make the assumption that they don't need support just because they seem to have, the trappings of what would be considered success and all that. We all need support. We all need a kind word. We need understanding. We need to have compassion with each other. And again, that fine line, compassion, as opposed to codependency, which was, so relevant and in our faces for so long. But if any of you out there want to connect with me, I do have a website, but it's not done. I'm so untechy, and I do have the beauty of some wonderful people around me who keep wanting to lift me up and create a larger platform for my own expression because they feel it's valuable. So I really appreciate that, and I want to honor their confidence in me by, stepping up and completing things that need completion. So I know when I was a weathercaster in Duluth, Minnesota, I would get, fan mail. It was very sweet. And there was one woman that would just keep sending me money and giving me encouragement. It's like, I guess she was a wealthy woman and she just wanted, to give a gift to me. And that was so kind and so sweet. And I kind of lost track of her, as I did with many people in my life that I regret I lost connection with. And so that's one more thought that I would like to bring into the conversation today, the importance of our own recognition of the people who do contribute to us. Because I know that I always think of myself as just this kind of empty vessel that was filled up with a lot of incredible people. From early age, I had amazing teachers. And as I look back and I talk to all of you about the joy of, nurturing and potentiating people, those same people saw a receptivity in me. That's one thing that I will add to this conversation is, people have to be receptive to you to be able to do your own magic. If they don't have a receptivity, if you say, oh, here, let me give you this, and they say, oh no, I'm good, I don't need this. Well, can I give you some food? No, I don't need any food. Well, then there's no exchange that can occur. And I think that one of the reasons that my teachers poured so much into me is I was open I was receptive. I whatever they gave me, I said yes to. I said, okay, yeah, I'll do that. I had a big yes in me. So it was like I just as a child even, I took such delight in, I remember as a child, we would go down to grandma's house and there were living quarters. It was the Club Francis. And the club was in front, and in the back was the big kitchen for, cooking food and stuff. And upstairs there were, rooms. So it was the living quarters. And so as a child, I wanted to surprise grandma. So I, and even as a 7-year-old, I was already, cleaning houses and washing dishes for the restaurant and cooking even. And so when grandma wasn't there, I cleaned the whole house and she didn't know who did it. And I never told her. So I felt like this little, like a little elf that would, do magic. There was so much fun to do that, and to not tell them, to just go and do something special for someone and delight them. So I've recognized that for me, one of my little objectives or missions in life is to create moments, a moment, whether it's a song that I sing, or a dance that I do, or a meal that I cook, to create a moment, a memorable moment that people truly do cherish. And even if they never know you did it, I mean, of course, it's more fun to see their surprise or to hear them say, well, I don't know, where did this come from? Well, somebody left a present on my door. Where did, this kind of thing? It's like, I guess, what's that do? Acts of kindness, something like that. I can't remember all that stuff that people do, but there are phrases for those types of things. And what is true is you who gave to them, that did something for them, you yourself got the gift. You got the gift. Because there's something in the nature of being able to do something for someone that they need. And it is delicate because the human design work in my human design, I have to be very careful because I was blessed with a lot of capabilities. And so the brilliant man that was one of the best, Randy Richmond, who was one of the finest human design analysts. Actually, I turned him on to the whole body of work myself, and he became actually the right arm of the creator of this body of work, Ra. The human design work is a real journey into who you are. And so one of the it gives you directives of a better way to, here's your blueprint, and for you to be the most effective with utilizing the blueprint that you are, it's best if you operate from this place, blah blah blah. You should do or you should wait. And so Randy said to me, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that's like a mantra that I have to keep reminding myself. Otherwise, I will seem like a steamroller. Okay, oh, this has to be done. Okay, I can do that. And boom, I go do it. But I didn't get permission. I have to get permission to do these things. And so you have to also identify yourself. So it's very, I have to be careful because my wanting to do for people can actually be intrusive if you're not careful. So, all this stuff, it's so, interesting to ponder and and interesting to know how to manage your own energy to bring forth the gifts that you have in the most effective way without being a pain in the ass. And without, you know, taking away from that person's own process. So, you know, this is just emerging today as what I felt wanted to be said. I actually did another show that I just felt was not something that I really felt I wanted. I don't know. I have to listen to it because I always want to bring into the conversation things that are going to empower you, things that will make your life better, and things that can make you happier. Because, you know, I remember the Yellow Submarine, the show the Beatles did, I think it was, the Blue Meanies. Oh, the Blue Meanies are out and about and in your face. The Blue Meanies are like, yeah, they want us. They want our minds, our DNA. They want our souls, and they want our bodies. They just, I think they're trying to figure out ways to steal our soul, so that, you know, we just disappear. I don't know. It's too big for me, little old me, to figure out. And I really appreciate Gary Null bringing forward so much of the critical information. I mean, oh my God. And then he starts to just, you know, talk, and I don't know how he even does that. I am flabbergasted sometimes when I listen to his show and realize that and this was something that he always constantly inspired. It's like, you know, it's just like we are what we eat, right? Well, we are also what we put into our consciousness, into our minds. What do we read? What do we expose ourselves to? And he absolutely filled his consciousness with such extraordinary things. He was smart enough when he was young to make that choice. You know, making a decision can have such tremendous power. And how, you know, how, I mean, I'm someone that I'm not happy with my own self-discipline. I have a new friend, and I said, and when I started spending time with him, I said, look, I need a buddy and I need a boss, you know, a buddy to exchange with and a boss to get me to do the things I want to do, but don't seem to have the will. Boy, you know, and I admire those people like Gary and Luann and others that have this capacity. They're wired to do things with a discipline that is impenetrable. It's like steel. We're going to do this and we're going to do this. And that's it. Of course, one of Gary's secrets that he might have. See, when you have to get other people up to get out and walk, then you, by God, have to get out and walk. So that just came to me. Maybe that's his secret of discipline, is to make other people do it. I don't know. Maybe I'm babbling now. But anyway, I really do appreciate the fact that that all of you out there, maybe there's only one of you that is out there, but, you know, we hope that you're getting something from this. I'm hoping. Somebody's whistling at me. And I just shut them up. That's something that we want to be able to always feel is part and parcel of who we are as we walk through this journey, and never know how long we got, you know, to be here. I've had some friends that left. I've had some friends that came very close to that door. And I myself have walked near that door to the other side, wherever that is and wherever it's going. And I've enjoyed And I suggest, here's one, my one last suggestion, because I don't know if any of you have ever gone online to listen to the accountings of people who died for a minute or even 30 minutes. Some people were dead for 30 minutes and came back. And you know, when you listen to their accountings of what they saw, and some of them saw some pretty horrendous things, I guess the doorways of hell. I think it does help us to be able to keep a perspective of the fragility, the impermanence of at least this lifetime. I do believe we've had other lifetimes, because of course I've had flashbacks, so that gives me, some ability to trust that that what I saw was true. And so, these things that we journey into when we step out of what seems to be alive and what would be called medically dead, and see these other things that might be on the other side. And of course, when that happens, 1 minute being dead can be, time is not relevant in those other dimensions, because what they saw took a lot longer than 1 minute, So that would be my parting invitation to all of you, is to look at some videos of people who were on the other side, and get, have a little peek into what that looks like, and see how that fits into your scheme of things, and what you might feel is relevant to being alive. Because yeah, we all know we could be here 1 minute and gone the next. Can be hit by a car, boom, unexpected, hit by a train. That football player, that young man was run over by a train inappropriately, or you're sleeping in your bed and somebody climbs in the window and it's all over. Or a million ways to make an exit, for sure. So, again, in recounting, start your own group, volunteer, make a difference, express yourself in some creative way, whether it's cooking, maybe it's organizing things. That's a gift and a talent. You can draw something, you can write something, write a poem. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a New York critic give you an accolade. It's your own self-expression. Learn to grow some food. Get to know how to do that. Because guess what? The other part of that is those that are growing their food, then all of a sudden, those that aren't, oh, well, let's go steal some of theirs. I was just talking to some people that came in the shop today, and they, in California, they don't, they have an RV and they have bikes. They're not allowed to ride their bikes. And their bikes are getting stolen in the RV parks, because even though it's a gated RV place, now they're breaking through the gates with the clippers to the chain link fence. They come in at night and steal the campers' bikes, or steal whatever else they need. Why? Well, that's the desperation that we're in. And Well, isn't this a very interesting time to be alive today? So I very much would like to have you listen to my theme song, which I love. And that song always brings me to tears. So will I. So will I. So, with that, I hope this was a show worth your listening to. I always respect the time that you take to listen to our podcasts and know that the most valuable commodity that we have, as my friend Addison would say, is our time. Our time. And my time is up. And so I wish you all a wonderful week. I send my love to you and hope that today I made a difference. Thank you. Bye-bye.